Hello and welcome to Audionautic Deep Space Network episode 106. This is the Independent Musician's Guide to Production and Promotion. And this week, we're going to discuss some Patreon-like alternatives that seem to offer a solution to the Spotify and streaming royalty woes. So we want to talk, is it the next step for the music business? And what I mean by that is more independent music business. And then we're also going to talk a composer who's racked up more streams on Spotify than some major artists. Eon Lake dubbed him the person who's actually making money on Spotify. So we want to know, is it a way to game the system or is there something more to it? My name is Sun Warper, and with me today are Eon Lake and Curtis. And before we get into news, I want to get, well, first I want to say hello to everybody in the chat. We've got Smiling Errors, we've got Abby, we've got Shady Ridge. We've got Survey Channel. We've got Pat. Everybody's here. How are you all doing? I see Smiling Errors is getting, what is that, Synplant, the trials on different computers. That's a smart way to go. I still need to check that out. They're always talking about it and showing samples and stuff, and I need to check it out. But one other bit of, announcement, I guess, let's say, before we get to the news, is the over-under challenge on our Discord server, the over-under 5. I see Curtis put over 5, under 5. We have all these different naming conventions, but over, under 5. That's our Discord server challenge. We've extended it a week. You probably saw the announcement if you're on the Discord, but if you haven't, basically we're just doing a quick challenge for our first one. Make a track out of your normal track length comfort zone. So if you normally make over 5 minute songs, try to make one under and vice versa, and share the results in the channel, the over, under 5 channel on our Discord. And we'll have a listening party an hour before ADSN next week. So 6 p.m. UTC, 10 a.m. Pacific. It'll be on our Discord on one of the public voice hangouts. So if you want to check it out, the link is in the description. We've already got an awesome submission from FCC because the original release time or submission time was this Wednesday. But really cool. I'm working on mine. I showed a little bit in our Starstream hangout. I know Curtis was making his on a live stream. Eon, like you're the wild card. How's it going?
I've been working on it up here, and I know what it's going to be. And I've decided to add a second limitation as well.
Oh, what's the second limitation?
Oh, I'm not going to tell you.
Oh, okay. Well, you'll tell us.
I'll tell you half of it. Only one instrument.
There's another half.
I'm not going to tell you which.
Okay. There we go. All right. Well, I'm very much looking forward to seeing what you come up with that. I bet it's, what is it, the SP-404 or the MPC? No?
Didn't even have one instrument. It's probably Ableton or something like that.
Yeah.
It's probably playing around.
Oh, I know what it is.
No, it's not actually.
For our listeners on Apple Podcasts and Spotify, I would guess the kalimba, but I was raising
it's
my kalimba.
Not kalimba this time, no.
Well, now I'm disappointed, but that's all right. That's all right. So anyways, you've got another week. I know some of us were struggling to get it done, but we wanted to do the listening party, so we scheduled it out. So next week, 10 a.m. Pacific, 6 p.m. UTC on our Discord. Link is in the description. Again, the idea for the song is not to create like a really short just drone or a really long drone. It's try to create a normal song with your songwriting conventions and methods and then figure out how you can tweak it to fit this different workflow and structure. So I think this is seeping into my brain because I'm working on a live set and I've turned one of my songs into this like 9 minute generative improv because of Curtis and Abby. I'm like, curse you all. Curse you all.
It's the only way to be, bro. It's the only way to be.
Well, it's the end track. So I was like, let's just go crazy with it. But anyways, Curtis, what have we got going on with Vault?
Well, yeah. So as the title suggests, hello, everyone in the chat. As we keep talking about Spotify and we keep unfolding more and more drudgery news about Spotify, we thought it's time to have a look at something slightly different. And this cropped up. If we share the screen, this Vault.fm.
If I just shut off the. There you go. I was going to say, let's shut off that branding.
So yeah, we have basically this segment, we're having a look at some alternative ways and mulling over the degree to which this could put an end or put a difference in the whole streaming game. So yeah, main one is this Vault.fm. Just go to vault.fm and you'll see this kind of idea of this, quite literally, a vault where you can store music and people can subscribe to you directly. And then they can get ideas of, or they can see your music go through as and when you decide to put it up, which is quite an interesting little thing. Now, Sunwalker, you dived into this one a little more, didn't you?
I did, yeah. So it's really not meant as a Spotify replacement. And, you know, we're just, Spotify keeps changing for independent artists. So we're trying to find what other avenues there are out here. So, you know, and we'll talk a little bit more about Spotify. We're sick of talking about it, but it's the largest listener demographic. So it's important to keep appraised of it and all that. But maybe there's alternatives that can come up. And so I saw James Blake, someone even asked him, are you going to only put stuff on this? And they said, no, it's Spotify releases will still be normal. It's just a way to get direct support. So James Blake launched this, I think, teamed with Vault, which allows fans to pay the monthly fee to receive unreleased music from an artist. The platform features a chat section for users to discuss music and allow artists to connect with fans about tickets, releases, and other announcements. It's an artist-to-consumer streaming platform that allows artists to upload unreleased music for which fans pay the monthly fee. James Blake was the first to join the platform. So for a $5 fee, fans will have access to his music that he has not released officially. In his words, he put on Twitter, Vault is a place to share music more intimately before songs are out anywhere else, if at all, your choice, instantaneously, and with the ability to communicate with your audience. We can't reach our own fans on DSPs. Why can't we? Because they own the data. With Vault, the artists own the data. Subscriptions allow an artist to focus on making music, not promoting and making TikToks every time I have a song I want to share with the world. More than just music, pre-sales, touring, etc. There's a lot of interesting ways this can go in the future. So, yeah, like, I'm curious to hear your take. And then I have a little bit I want to share my opinion on, and I want to hear from Curtis. But Ian, like, go ahead.
It's kind of talking my language there a little bit with the let's not make a TikTok every time we're releasing something, especially if you're, you know, unlike me, somebody who does release a lot. It must get to be frustrating having to do that whole grind. The idea of doing something differently is possibly appealing to a lot of people. I'm interested. I'm definitely interested. I think one of the things it pays to maintain as an independent artist is some sort of connection to the people that are interested in what you do. You know, you spend a lot of time trying to find people who are and find your audience. Who knows where they are? If you've seen mine, let me know, by the way. And, you know, maintaining that relationship and being, you know, the whole point is to not spend your entire life bashing people over the head who are country fans with your dubstep, you know, because they're never going to be interested. You need to find people who like your stuff and then offer value to them, you know, let things grow. So I don't know. I like the idea of having a music portal that it doesn't necessarily reflect your release output, where people can benefit from membership, maybe, by having different music that isn't available elsewhere. You know, I mean, we've discussed this before with Bandcamp, haven't we? But yeah, I think I need to dig in a little bit more, see what, you know, how much of the subscription is and, you know, what the take up is like. But I like the fact that in an industry where everyone seems to have the impression that it's all sewn up and, you know, it's streaming is the new thing and Spotify is the only streaming platform that exists. There aren't any others. You imagine that. It's nice that people are still thinking about different ways, new platforms, different ways of sharing stuff. That it's not a done deal, you know, that that phase of evolution is over. It's something that's continually evolving, you know. So I like that there are people still trying to find different ways of doing this. And, you know, it doesn't mean that we've found the ultimate way yet. I'm pretty sure that we haven't. So it's a good thing in my book.
Yeah, I think you're right. That, and like you were saying, this really is meant more to combat like virality and social media stuff and things like that. Not exactly streaming. It's really just a Patreon that's tailored to music and musicians and things like that. So I think it's a way to kind of get that whole 1,000 true fans, you know, it's still right now, kind of the concept is unreleased music, but I think we'll see it change a bit and develop. I think my biggest question, and I'll throw it to you, Curtis, is does this really matter for new and indie artists? Because it seems like this would be something that's far easier for an established artist who has a fan base to convert people to and say, hey, if you want to support me, because, you know, head here. So I'm curious, like, is this a place for smaller artists to do that?
I mean, in the vein of being anywhere is a good thing, or being everywhere is a good thing, for sure. You know, it won't get you to 1,000 true fans, but it will keep the 50, 60, 70 as it grows, as you can continue. Like, you can do early access, you can do bootlegs, you can do unreleased stuff, you can do alternative cuts, you can do remixes. There's a lot that you could do and keep things away. If streaming's going down the mainstream and it's going down, this is what's going to be algorithmically successful. You only put your algorithmically successful stuff out on Spotify, but then everyone knows to go to your vault or go to your Bandcamp. There is a benefit to the established artists, but this is only the beginning. Maybe there could be some videos there. Maybe there could be, it could be a bit more like Patreon. It could be a bit longer and a bit more enveloping as a branding system, you know. But the idea of Vault, the name of Vault, kind of takes this idea of kind of the deeps and the depths of your musical history and stuff. So at the moment, it seems a bit of like a juxtaposition, or it seems like a bit of a muddle at this stage.
Yeah.
And maybe a bit like a subscription based SoundCloud or something, but hopefully without the bots.
Yeah. Real quick, a bit live mixing right now. We're getting some echo, I think. I'm hearing it when Eon Lake talks and when I talk. Curtis, I'm not hearing it now, but I was. Are you hearing it, Eon Lake? Or did Eon Lake muted himself up?
I'm still hearing it.
You're still hearing it? Okay. Do you hear it when Curtis talks? Okay, because we've had this issue before. So I don't know, Curtis, just check if your routings are all good. But we'll figure it out. If not, just maybe we'll just have to ride the mute a little bit to see. But I'm not hearing it now. I don't know. And I see Eon Lake is muted. So I don't know. StreamYard sometimes does these wibbly wobblies, so who knows what's going on.
It's the internet. Blame the internet.
Yeah, it's the internet. There we go. So yeah, I get what you're saying, Curtis. I guess what I'm getting at is it's trying to convince people to do this sort of support. It's the same with Patreon or something. So I mean, I understand its existence. I think it's a really cool platform, or at least concept, like what Survey Channel was saying. It's a good idea. He said, I guess he thinks it'll fizzle out, though. I don't know. But I think it's more of a, maybe I'm wrong, but it feels to me like it's more of an uphill battle for small and independent musicians to try and get people there when it's hard to even get them to Spotify or to Bandcamp. You know, it's another layer. And this time it's a harder monetary layer, because I mean, part of why James Blake was talking about this and stuff was because music has become less and less worth money, you know, like monetarily. It's basically free. Like, you can stream on Spotify with the free what's it called, free tier, and get every song you want and things like that. So
yeah, it's a good point.
I wonder, though, at the same time, I wonder if we're looking through this through the lens of monetization, right? Which is maybe the comeuppance at the very beginning. You know, we talk later about Spotify and this dude who's just monetized music, essentially. But art is art in that regard. Now, you know, we can make things which we can't legally, in inverted commas, put out, or we couldn't legally monetize for ourselves, but they are not, nonetheless, they are part of our artistic journey. They're part of our place. Now, what this tips to me is this notion of, hey, you know, you don't have to make you don't have to make music that's going to sell. You don't have to make music which is going to go viral. You can just have things that are there. You know, that old idea, which has kind of been lost in the last kind of decade or so in that regard.
No, I think you're spot on. I think, like, I agree with you. Yeah, I think it's a really cool platform. I think the concept is a really good idea. I'm just talking as smaller independent musicians. Like, that's what I'm looking at, more of the application of it. And I agree with you, Curtis. I'm not saying that. Like, yeah, I think it's a really cool idea too. Like, I do a lot of sample stuff on my YouTube that I can't release, right? But if I were to do Vault, I could have that theoretically on there or something like that. I agree with you on that front. I'm talking more of this, like, entrance level, like, not entrance level, I can't think of the word right now, my sleep deprived brain isn't working, but just like the actual application of this thing for independent artists. It's, we already have a undervalued or devalued music as it exists because of streaming and things like that. Now we're trying to say, hey, support music. And I'm not saying that it's good that we should have money, should be not money, music should be valued to a degree, you know, like, we make music, it should have a value and things like that. It's just saying we've gone from this, like, we've gone to this place largely, or general population, where music is undervalued, and now it's trying to get it there. But I really like what Ross says here. It just takes one of these things to capture the imagination of the artist and it will catch on. Yeah. Cause you know, you put something really interesting on it or something and it grows. Yeah. Anything else on it? Eon Lake, before I read a couple comments that have been coming in.
I just agree with you about those. It's probably easier for somebody with an established following to point their user base at, you know, this new platform to catch whatever they're putting on it. All I can say is, you know, my mum's busy. There's a limited number of platforms she can be on, you know.
On the other hand, though, by getting larger musicians and things to the platform, you get users onto the platform. So in that sense, kind of like Bandcamp.
I really like it as an idea, definitely.
Yeah. I love that though, yeah. Like, Curtis is dying.
Sorry, that really got me. I had to mute my mic. That really got me.
let's read a couple more comments. So Smogger says, hope it does for music retail what Tinder did for dating apps. Survey Channel says, what I don't want to see is more splintering of services. Every time a big artist feels slighted, creating their own solution that will eventually lock out independent artists and or be sold off. That's a very fair point. Yeah.
Or confuse people who, I mean, let's face it. I mean, we track all this stuff. People who are listening to music maybe don't. They just, you know, want an easy life. That's why so many people are on that platform that we don't talk about. So, you know, a million different music services doesn't necessarily serve anyone particularly well. But what I would say,
it only floods the market.
If you are going to be doing it, try and get them through your website as well.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Fair point from Smiling Ears, though, about the sampling and things like that. That's interesting. Mm-hmm. They say if you receive payments from subs, you'll still be liable for copyright if pursued. True. I was just thinking more, they're paying you as an artist and you happen to just be putting those songs. This isn't legal. I'm just thinking, like, you know, this is not legal advice or anything like that by any means. I was just thinking they're not actually buying the songs. They're supporting the artist and what songs hop up. I don't know. I mean, this is all new grounds anyway. So, yeah.
It does bring us to this other one. Untitled.stream, which is currently only available on the App Store. And someone shared me their new upcoming album with a link. This is how I found this. I was working with another artist, and they were like, "This is the new album. Tell me what you think." And this is in a similar sort of vein. This is completely free, so obviously it kind of removes that monetization. But what it is, and what I felt when I first got the link, was because what you do is they send you the link, you click on it, and then you kind of like swipe to unlock it. So to unlock it, they say, it's this notion of this little secret box that comes all these new sonics which come through, and it's quite magical. It is very personal, and it is very it takes it to another level, so to speak. I got the message directly from the artist, and it was just like, hey, check this out for your eyes only, kind of thing. Now, we had SoundCloud. Okay, stick with me on this one. We had SoundCloud back in the day before it got destroyed and before it became botted and before it became a mess. And to a degree, it's still there, but it's having a resurgence, so to speak. But this is a really good way. It is a really good way to see all those things that you wouldn't necessarily see because of the prim and proper and the TikToks and the polished version of our world. I would, for example, I would love to see reworks of other people's work or B-sides or stuff that just kind of get there and that isn't released on other platforms directly from the person that I support. I think that's a really good way of doing it. I think it opens up this notion of just releasing everything. I've watched it the other day or heard about it the other day. It's this notion that as soon as you put something out into the world, it's no longer yours, right? We've talked about that before. Mm-hmm. And that notion of what you might consider a scratch or what you might consider a work in progress or what might you consider something that's just god awful, it's still part of that creative expression. So you can use these little kind of understated and under kind of backdoor places in order to just put your stuff out there and just continue that journey in another fraction. There is a problem of fragmenting in that sense, for sure. But I don't think that's necessarily a bad thing.
I mean, we already have social media fragmented, right? Like post to Instagram, to TikTok, to Threads, to Blue Sky, to Facebook, whatever. You know, like there's too many anyways. If we're talking like everything needs to be on social media and things like that. And then they all kind of have their own, well, they all have their own algorithm, but they all have their own sort of interest in terms of how you edit a video, what you create on it. Does it even take video? Like Blue Sky's only pictures, I believe. So yeah. But that's interesting. I like that idea. So it's free, right? It's not a paid thing. You just put it, it's kind of like a WeTransfer, but you can play it directly on there. Am I catching that right, Curtis?
Basically, that's, yeah. And you can create your own little portfolio, or you can collect these, from what I understand it, you can collect these little albums, and you just got this little collection that builds up inside there, and they're from everyone and anyone, you know. Like, what they're looking at here, if I just put this back up, actually, they have this like, untitled one.
Mixed, you got to reshare it.
I'm getting there. That's the one. If you have a look at what they're doing, like Untitled Project, 67 West Demo Street or whatever, Mix 2, Mix 1, you know, this kind of all this stuff. And it's like it becomes a forum. You know, you could link that to, say, your Patreon. You can link that to your Bandcamp community. You could link that to everyone and say, hey, I've got this. What are you thinking? Where's this at? Where's this at? Do you like where this is going? Should I release this? That kind of thing. And bring your fans along for the ride. They can kind of almost have a say in what you're doing in that regard. And be that, yeah, not
that is interesting. I like that idea, because yeah, you can kind of make it the journey with them, right? So are these songs downloadable too, where you can then, is it only on this, or, oh, it is downloadable. I'm seeing you nod, I think.
So yeah, and it's great. It's really cool in that regard. And it just, yeah, it's just a different way of sharing. It's just a different way. And it's, I feel like it's very personal. So I think it's good.
It kind of redefines what release, the concept of releasing something. So in the legacy term, it was all very obvious. It was an end product that you worked towards that once was physical, now not necessarily so. Whereas this, I mean, if you're sharing it and it's out there in public, even if it's, you know, within a certain community and only people you've shared it with, it's kind of, you know, it's released, right? I mean, you've literally let it go, passed it around, and other people are able to download it and so on. It's kind of like releasing anyway, isn't it? So wonder, you know, bearing that in mind, you know, what need does it fulfill? And I'm thinking maybe just having alternative versions of things, or
sped up, slowed down. That's really trendy right now, like sped up, slowed down versions and stuff like that. Like, you know, hype, like everything's going hyper, you know, and it's like, it's just, that's where you can put it. You can have your, like, your releases, so to speak, but then you can have your journey over here. And in that sense, I don't think, I mean, that makes business, it makes good business sense, because you're monetizing your mainstream releases over here, but then you can also get money from the stuff, and the algorithms aren't going to mix. You know what I mean?
Well, here's how I'm kind of thinking of it, is like, I make a lot of songs that I don't release per se, right? I put them up on YouTube as jams or in social media posts or something like that. Well, what about, there's two ways I could look at it, right? You can look at it in terms of just, hey, if you want to get the full song, go get it on what's this called, untitled.stream or whatever. Or alternatively, if you were looking to, you know, we talked adding value to music again or something, you could say supporters on YouTube channel members or patrons get all of these songs that are on social media and on YouTube as part of, you know, the support, similar to Vault basically, but, you know, just a different format or something. So yeah, there's definitely some ideas to it. And that's just right as you brought this to the table, I had that thought. So I bet, like Ross was saying earlier, with, you know, it takes an artist thinking of like really vibing with the platform to figure out cool things, but there's a lot of ideas there that could happen. I mean, these are really all just, well, this one maybe less so, but depending on how you use it as an extension of something, these are really all just Patreon alternatives, just tailored to musicians, really. That's how I'm viewing these, like adding monetary support as a patron, not Patreon, but as a patron to an artist or something, which, yeah, it could be interesting.
While you're saying that, Ian Lake was talking about redefining releases, and then you, Sam Warp, were talking about the notion of my mind's just gone completely blank, but what you essentially just said in terms of like with Patreon and stuff like that. And
you just don't listen, that's all.
Patronage, that's what it was, patronage.
Yeah.
Because like, okay, so Michelangelo didn't release the Sistine Chapel, for example. He didn't release that. You know, he had a patronage and he had dedicated people who believed in what he did, and he just did that. You know? Yeah. And that's that kind of that Renaissance era, or even going further back to like medieval kind of bardism, for example, where people are just essentially tipping you because you're doing a job that connects with them emotionally. Maybe that's why we need to be redefining that. And these could be good tools if you navigate it in a good way.
Yeah. Really quick, Smiling Air says, at a small level, it would be easy to manage as a reward for patrons or subs, but if you get traction, it gets dropped. I'm not sure I fully agree or understand that, really, because I mean, it's scalable in the sense that all you're doing is adding a song, and then it just, the more people that join would just have more, the more people have access to that song. Yeah. Maybe I'm missing something, or Smiling Ears, if you want to elaborate.
Let's see. Anything else on that at all?
No, I think it's cool to see this stuff, you know, just like you're saying, this patronage idea. That might be a way to get out of the reliance on, well, not many people can rely on streaming for monetary compensation, but get out of this like album purchase, you know,
social media as well, because I mean, when all this was new, social media was just a couple of platforms, right? It's a lot more now, and it's a lot to stay abreast of. So, you know, maybe social media isn't the answer for music promotion to some extent. And maybe, you know, places like this maybe able to grow in interest more naturally rather than bothering people who are looking for something else. They just want to see cat videos and you're trying to sell music, and then just leave me alone.
I do love a good cat video, though, to be fair.
Well, I mean, every episode Yeah. really quick, Curtis, I want to clarify this because either I misunderstood or as Smiling Earth says, maybe I've misunderstood. I thought it was all personal links to get access. So I know Vault is not that, but the Untitled
is, it is, yeah.
They are personal links. So every time you were to give, you can't just give a link and everybody that clicks it gets the song.
Yes, I think that's how that works. Okay, so if you send the link, you get it. Yeah.
So that's what I mean. For me, my thinking is like, if you have channel members, you just be like, here's the link for the song we put out today, and then everybody can grab it. So in that sense, I think it would be scalable.
Yeah, that's cool. It does come back to that notion that patronage is the way to support the people that you love and in the artistic endeavors of the people that you love, and we have seen it, because it is our patrons and it is the patrons that support us on Patreon, which give us just so much. And so thank you ever so much for that. I mean, we say this every week, but it's true. It allows us to do more each and every week, and allows us to grow. It allows us to spend more time, dedicate more hours in this wibbly wobbly time where we don't really have enough hours in the day. We never feel like we have enough hours in the day. It is the support of our patrons that allow us to do it. So thank you. And if you wanted to become a patron and support us, what we do, head over to patreon.com/audionautic, where you can make a pledge. It starts as little as $2 per month. And you have early access, for example. That's one of the big things that we're doing this year at the moment. The label, we've had a brand new release out today, which we'll talk about in a moment. But our patrons have had it since Monday, for example, which is great. You know, what else do they get, Sunwalker?
You get an extra podcast that we do. It's really more of a hangout with our patrons, but we record it for those that can't make it. And you also get an exclusive group on Discord where we talk all kinds of stuff. It's a really good group where we talk all these just gear things and stuff like that. And it's the best way to support the show. Obviously, hitting like on the video if you get value also helps. Subscribing, sharing the videos, rating it if you're on Apple Podcasts. But if you do want to help support the show, help us do more of this and have the Discord where we try to make a positive space on the internet to talk this kind of gear, because it's pretty niche, let's be honest. You know, like all this kind of gear stuff, it's pretty niche. But if you want people that know what you're talking about and aren't going to have glazed over eyes when you mention envelope followers or LFOs, that's the place. So yeah, and we had a great Starstream hangout on Sunday. The recording is going to go up for patrons tomorrow. But we talked what we're listening to right now. We were talking setups with Hydro Fighter and some other stuff. It was really good, a good time. And so thanks for your support. If you want to help support the show, head down to patreon.com/audionautic. Really quickly, I do want to bring up before we fully move from the last topic, Survey Channel says that it sounds similar to Fair Camp. And I think it was Survey Channel that brought Fair Camp up a couple months back when we covered, what was it, Artcore, Fair Camp, I think a few others. Right, Survey Channel? Didn't you make a page through them? Yeah, and he's saying Fair Camp can generate a general link to share with folks to download. So yeah. Smiling Air says, Fair Camp is new to me. Is it worth it? We have an episode from a few months back. There's the playlist is on our channel. I can't remember what episode it was, but I think it's called like Alternatives to Bandcamp. When Bandcamp got reshuffled all those sales, Epic, then to who's it with now, SongTrader. So if you want to check it out, we did cover it a bit. But yeah, Survey Channel made a website on there.
I'm trying to find it. I'm trying to find Survey Channel's page. I can't find it in this moment. And like you say,
I'm going to go look and find what episode we covered it in.
Let me do that. That's all good. One of the great things about it is, like I say, patrons get early access to the musical releases that we do on Audionautic Records. We are full throttle with the label this year. We're doing more releases. We're doing more stuff and putting a platform up for more releases. And today, we dropped Departure Streets into the drop zone. Beautifully guitar ambient, which is lovely, and a little touch of psychedelica there as well. If you want to go pick it up, you can get it in digital and you can get it on physical CD as well. They will start shipping in the next week or so. It's all there. It's really lovely to hear something very different. We've been very synth-based electronica for a long time, and she's great and fine, nothing wrong with that. This is a different little bit of a twist. It's electronic music, very guitar-based, very ambient-based. So yeah, if you're into that, I'll put a link into the chat box as we're talking there.
Yeah, I'm still looking. I'll have to look later, but I'll put a link to the Fair Camp episode down below. But yeah, it's a really cool album from Departure Street. If you're into
how many tracks is it? How long?
8 or 9, 35 minutes.
It's 8 tracks. Yeah, 8 tracks by 35 minutes in that regard.
Yeah. Nice little exploratory chill. Just listen to some guitars and go on a little journey. Very cool.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because we've all heard synthesizers with reverb. It's nice to hear. Well, it's nice to hear ambient music that's generated with, you know, real sounds, things vibrating and so on.
Yeah,
very much so. And Alan himself is a mysterious fellow. He's a mysterious in the best of ways. Like, and it's a little kind of peek behind the curtain, so to speak. I mean, he's very, very cryptic in his titling, for example. And he just, you know, he's a man of another generation. It's really interesting to see and get an insight into how he perceives the world. So it's really cool.
Yeah, and I want to say that there wasn't even a DAW involved. He used one of those recorders, not cassette, but like one of those recorders, and just mic'd his amp. So it's very, very interesting recording techniques and lo-fi in a good way in how he did it. Not lo-fi like the beat making stuff, but there's this very warm, not grittiness, but warm, saturated tone to it all and things like that. It's very interesting workflow. We were talking with it about him, and yeah, it's like we were talking about it with him, and it's very interesting the way he just records it. He has some old Epiphone amp, I think, that he's using that I saw when we talked with him, and it's like, oh, that's a nice setup.
So when do we get to question him about this?
That's a good question. And we'll have to get back. It's if he's comfortable coming on, because he was still feeling the waters of it all. So, yeah, we'll get back.
It sounds like an interesting approach. You know how I like to pick people's brains, especially when they do things completely differently to me.
Yeah. I'm with you. I'm with you, because that's the way we learn, right? Because if we can take one thing from someone else, it's a totally different workflow. Yeah.
Alan is a departure street, is a man who keeps himself to himself. Maybe we could give him another poke and see where he's at. If he would like to know how about his workflow and his process and his recording, let us know. Maybe we'll give him another poke. We'll see how that goes.
Yeah, it looks like Survey Channel wants to chat with him about it. Yeah, we'll try. If not, I'll tell you what. Patrons, if you have questions for him, put him in the patron Discord, and we'll ask him. If he's not cool with coming on, if he's and that's okay. Not everybody wants to go on live; it's stressful.
Q&A, though, right?
We'll give him the messages. We'll give him the questions, and we'll post them in the patron Discord, and maybe even cover them on a future episode or something. So, yeah, if you have questions for him, patrons, post them in the patron Discord. And if you do have questions for him and you're not a patron, patreon.com/audionautic, and you can check it out over there.
All about the support. And so support of the art and the workflow, going to change tack completely and look at music as money.
The commodification of music.
The commodification of
music. One of three people making money from Spotify.
Exactly. I've called this segment skewed streaming, more for the alliteration than anything else. Let me just make a quick timestamp for later. This is a story and a half, this one. This was actually brought to us by our patron, Thomas Haar, who makes music on Distillered Music. And this tells a story of a Swedish composer, and he has been dubbed the most famous composer you've never heard of. Supposedly created 2,700 songs and been streamed 15 billion times, and he's got more streams than Britney Spears or ABBA, those two people who are heavily, heavily influential in their time. Before I get into this, do you guys have anything to say? Because it's quite a big story.
Wow.
I'm not sure if that's a good wow or a bad wow. Probably a bad wow.
Or am I?
This is really interesting. I mean, I think Spotify is a Swedish company, is it not?
It is a Swedish company.
We could get into the conspiracy theories after, but I mean, we just last episode talked Spotify's Loud and Clear and exactly how many people, according to their metrics, which they don't source, so they might be higher than what it actually is. We saw how many people make $10,000 from Spotify in a year, how many make $100,000, all that. It's all in the last episode, and it's not a very big number, all these things. I want to say it was 66,000 that were making $10,000 or $100,000 off Spotify. I'm not saying that's for sure, but the number we gave, the exact number.
We gave the exact number according to them. They just gave you a number, and they didn't tell you.
I'm not sure if that's the exact number. Last episode we did give the exact number, and you can check it out if you want to see more about it if you missed it. But we're seeing this juxtaposition, right, of this composer that's making a good portion of money and has billions of streams, and it's all under different monikers and all that. I'll let Curtis run through this, because this is very interesting.
Sure. I'll get into it and then we can kind of dissect it. So like I say, 15 billion streams, more streams than the likes of Britney Spears, ABBA, Michael Jackson, Metallica, you know, those unknown names. He is apparently in over 100 official Spotify instrumental playlists. So editorials, essentially.
Yeah, that's what Smiling Ears mentions too.
Yes, the biggest issue is the place, exactly. Yeah, so things like peaceful piano, stress relief, basically underscore background music that is both there and not there at the same time. As stemming off from what Sunwolf has said, last year Spotify paid out over 90 billion Swedish krona last year, and that the this people argue this kind of goes against the notion of the independent artist, which Spotify claim to support so well, because this anonymous composer is just making so much money in that regard. So where are we? I've lost my place. Spotify states that artists are allowed to use pseudonyms in their work, and there's growing interest in functional music for relaxation, focus, and studying. So that's kind of how they push that back a little bit. They said, well, this is where the market is going. It's all going for background music and for relaxation music, not actual music, which is all right, fine. This is what they call functional music in that regard.
Just like you're only a professional musician if you're making a certain amount of money on Spotify. That's what they said in there loud and clear. They just keep going with this like wording of just degrading any artist that's not meeting their weird arbitrary numbers and metrics.
Exactly. So this guy's name is called Johan Rur, and I apologize if I'm butchering that. I think that's how you say the umlaut. And this is all released through one label, Overtone Studios. And they are saying that this is pioneering in mood music, so to speak, which is where this is going. And they say that you can use as many pseudonyms as you want, as many different names as you want. Tina's knocking at the door. But yeah, so he's making a lot of music. He's releasing it under different monikers completely anonymously. And it's all music, which is essentially underscore music. And that's how he's making all his money. Yeah. So that's the story as it goes so far.
And is he a real person or is he code?
Well, he was interviewed, wasn't he, in this, supposedly?
Yes, he was interviewed, supposedly. Like I said, this is the unmasking of it. And he has all these different monikers, but this is who he is in his entirety. So, yeah, so he's created more than 2,700 songs and under different pseudonyms. But yes, he is a real person, or they are a real person. And there's a picture of ABBA, because why wouldn't you have a picture of ABBA in this instance? Another Swedish band who had done quite well. I suppose the issue of playlists here and the notion of like insider information in that regard. If I just bring this out so we can bring us back. This notion of we are seeing these things come creeping through, like keyword music, you know, relaxing piano for sleep and stuff like that, as opposed to actual bangers or actual tunes. Now we can go down the philosophical route of like what makes a tune, what makes it background music, what makes it underscore. But this guy's making a lot of it and he's getting a lot of money from it. And this is coming from a space where supposedly Spotify are a company that supports independent music. And that just doesn't seem to tally up from what we can see.
Yeah, it's a bit interesting. I mean, I remember Thomas, the one who brought this to the to our attention has talked about editorial playlists quite a bit, and kind of like, I mean, I wish he was here, I'd love to hear from him, but not putting words in his mouth, but it's kind of like once you start getting on him it's a little easier and things like that. But these are all different pseudonyms or monikers, you know, so to get one on it and then get another, unless they're releasing with multiple names on the first release of each new moniker to get that kind of thing, it's very interesting. I mean, I've got to read the article because I'd love to see if they talk a little bit about how he's gotten on all these editorials. You know, like, is it because I remember a long time ago I'd read an article from someone that was getting music on editorials and supposedly making a living from streaming and was talking about they use like pertinent keywords in the title. So if they're trying to get on a playlist that's acoustic guitar for, let's say there's a Spotify editorial playlist called like acoustic guitar for coffee, morning coffee. that person would look through all the songs that were on it and see what the titles were and basically try to make similar sounding titles and then similar sounding songs. And so, yeah, we're talking gaming the system, but then we also have to talk like this is literally commodification and homogenizing music, because you're just seeing what works on a playlist and then just figuring out, okay, this is how I'm going to just exactly emulate it and get on that playlist.
Okay.
No.
Yeah,
Eon Lake, cynical. I don't know. Something seems off to me. I don't know what it is. It just seems very odd that this has happened. But, you know, congrats and all that. I just think, really? I wonder if there's going to be a follow-up story in a couple of months going, I'm only joking, that guy's not really real. We've been testing, you know, AI music, blah, 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 or something.
Well, it could be real, too, and just have a connection to Spotify or something. There was some lo-fi.
100 songs. It's a lot of songs.
Yeah, but I wonder, though, like I want to listen to the song, because if you just make a template of, you know, a calm piano and then just do something every song, take the same idea and either transpose it or just adjust it,
you know? maybe
because remember, these are playlists where every song is very similar, and they're, you know, you're trying to get on that playlist by having a very similar song. So
yeah, maybe I've never
maybe
tried
maybe that. They've got a huge Ableton template like Curtis, but instead of 8 basses they do 8 pianos, you know, and that's just
how they go. Hell.
And it's random, so all I have to do is just render them out all day long. Everyone's
yeah, or chord packs. Who knows?
I mean, this is the way that this is the way that kind of the music industry is going in that regard. Like, this is the modern way that you kind of get your music, and it is about numbers, and it is about quantity over quality, so to speak. And you know, 2700 to me doesn't sound too out of this world. It doesn't sound too astronomical. It's a lot, but it doesn't sound out of the realms of possibility. It doesn't sound like he had to break too much of a sweat to get it done.
Curtis, what's one of the playlists that he's on? I want to look at song durations.
Peaceful Piano.
Peaceful Piano. Oh, yeah, that's a big one, I think. Hold on.
Yeah. So while you're looking at that, the notion of making all those tracks specifically for streams and monetizing that, okay, if that's what you want to do, that's what you want to do, right? I just find that we still haven't kind of addressed that notion of maybe he's getting a leg up from somewhere, or perhaps there's some insider information, which is shady and which is a bit different, difficult in that regard.
Well, the case, you know.
Yeah, it's possible, but it could also be possible they've really figured out how to get on these playlists in terms of what the playlist wants. I'm looking at the playlist right now, and you've got almost every song is between 2 to 3 minutes with a few outliers. Most songs are like one word or a couple words. Land in Sight, Luminous, Adieu, Elegy. All the artwork is, you know, like generation. Atmospheric, Astray, Autumn Sky. So the Swan. So
I can almost smell the essential oils.
Yeah. So so I don't know. I remember reading an article years ago, and I don't think it was this person. I don't think so. I'd love to try and find that article, but it might have been about Pandora actually. But I want to say it was Spotify. But they were saying that it was Spotify. They look at what the song titles are, what the artwork is, what the songs sound like, and then they just try to create songs like that. And then when they're submitting to editorials, they say, oh, this and that. I'm not trying to deny maybe there's, you know, something going on more nefarious or whatever, but it is possible, I would suppose, that, you know, maybe they just figured out how it works. And since they use a label, perhaps the label, because multiple songs of his have gotten on the Spotify editorial or whatever, you know, bots that are looking at these things are like, oh, this label, we've used them before. Okay, yeah, this song, yeah. I don't know.
Yeah.
I'm not trying to be optimistic. I'm just pointing out that there could be a logical explanation. There could also be something more going on.
And it's all an attempt to fund a secret grindcore habit.
There we go. Napalm Death, right?
Yeah. Well, that's what I'd like to think anyway. I'm banging out 3,000 piano tunes in order to get some more bread on.
Well, those blast beats.
let me put this out to you, gents and the guys in the chat. If you had the ability to make 3,000 songs, and you had that space, you had that time to put them out there, and you did consider them as a product for monetization or gain, as opposed to something of an artistic exploration of, say, Eon Lake and Sunwarper, would you do it?
No.
Let's hear Eon Lake first.
No. And who the hell's going to listen to them?
But there is a demand for it.
That's the thing.
How long is it going to take to listen to all those songs? You know? Have you heard my new song? No. I haven't heard the last.
Well, I mean, it's kind of like. Yet. It's kind of like. It's like sync licensing, though, isn't it? I mean. Yeah. There's people who make music for sync licensing and then make music as an artist name. And the sync licensing music is, you know, a lot more derivative or generic, whatever you want to call it. And then their music is much more exploratory and things like that. So it depends. I mean, that's what I was saying earlier, the commodification and all that stuff. It depends. Like, are you doing it for a living? Are you doing it for the art form? I don't know if one cancels the other out. Like, the fact that these peaceful piano playlists exists. Music, well, other music.
What time are we talking about here for this number of releases?
Infinite.
How long have they been doing this for, in order to clock up that?
That's
many?
A good question. Yeah, how long have they been doing it? I don't know. Curtis, does it say since when he started? But while you look, I'm going to just finish my thought process. But basically, I don't think Peaceful Piano playlists cancel out all the other music that exists. Maybe a lot more people listen to those. But maybe that's the reason why you could do both or something, you know? I don't know. But it depends how you want to approach music. Do you want to commodify it? Do you want it to be your art and expression? Or do you want to do both? I don't know. What Smiling Airs was saying, it's not in Spotify's interest to nerf it if it's being driven by a genuine thirst for music. And then they say, to your question... on the condition it was anonymous. Oh yeah, and Eon, like, I finally got a paintbrush for the old Justin of the Gear.
You know, it makes sense.
And I've been doing the Bob Ross. Once I dust everything, I understand why Bob Ross did that. It's fun.
it does bring an interesting notion into like the independent artist and what they do if they want to make it full time, right? There is that notion of making all the stuff that you love and you've always wanted to make ever, and you want to put your creative palette out there and get paid for it, right? There is that, and it's great. And then there's also the reality of a job. Michelangelo made the Sistine Chapel, but he made the Sistine Chapel because he got a lot of money for it, for example. Yeah.
And presumably at some point he painted a fence somewhere, you know, as well.
Exactly. And he probably, painted lots of this shit because he had to pay the bills. And that's okay. Nothing wrong with that. Use your talent to make money. There's nothing wrong with that necessarily. I've got stuff that's done on Curtis, and I've got stuff on sync licensing that's down as Joshua Stewart, you know, like it's, but that's over there, and I've got Curtis here, you know, and they don't tend to mesh and meld, but I don't know. I don't think there's nothing wrong. Obviously what we are doing here, this artistic expression, this is one that we'd like to try and keep away specifically from the man, so to speak, but there's nothing wrong with kind of putting on a different hat every so and then and making music because you know it's going to sell. There's nothing technically wrong with that.
No, I don't think so either. Yeah, I don't have a problem with that at all. I would probably want to keep them separate if it were me, but what the hell?
What the hell? But any other thoughts, Sunwarper?
No, I think you said it. I mean, it's really the kind of like two different discussions of just the fact that this happened and really being curious, like, did they game the system? How did they figure this out? And then the conversation of art as commodity versus art as art. And, you know, like, yeah, I mean, things need to pay the bills. That's why we talked about patronage and things like Vault that's one answer to it. You can create your sounds, the sounds you want, and express yourself as you want to express it, as you want to express it. But that's a lot easier for a more established artist or something to get the support in that way, at least in my opinion. And then you have this, where to get to that point, maybe you need to pay the bills in the interim. So you could make these more generic sounding things or something like that.
Hmm. Maybe I'm just very cynical, but it just seems like, you know, exactly. Maybe it's almost like this just exists to prove a point that Spotify made once or something. I don't know.
That's a point too.
But yeah, I'm sure it's real, really.
I want to share this from Happy. I had a friend who was a painter in Florida. He made money by doing mass-produced generic Florida hotel room art. Pelicans, beaches, seashells. Yeah. Sounds like what's going on here, pretty much. Yeah. Mm. Spot on, Happy.
That's what you need. Anything more on that, or should we head towards our twilight days of the show?
The twilight days. That's dark, though.
Yeah,
today's twilight.
That's what it says. Last segment before we get going, we're here towards the end of the show. What we're up to?
We have one heads up before we do that. You just glossed over.
I did gloss over that because it's in red and I can see it.
I highlighted it clearly for you to see. Way to go, bud.
Nice one. Why don't you take the lead on that one? Because
yeah, I don't trust you anymore. So, wow. Something that came out right before this episode was the release of MPC Stem Separation. And one of our patrons, Abby, actually grabbed it. And they put one of my songs through it that had vocals, because I used the song, it's called Farther, on Rip X to separate the stems. So there's vocals, drums, synths, all that kind of stuff. And so next week we're going to do a comparison or shootout between MPC stems, Koala, FL on Curtis's end. And I'll put up some snippets of the original stems, because I was shocked at the way it split some of those stems. It was very weird. There's some like weird.
And yeah, is that free, that MPC Live?
No, you're right, Ian, like, because you were grumpy about it before. Mr. Cynical down here. I believe it's, what, $10 or something?
Yeah, I mean, it's not a lot of money, is it? But
Koala, I think it's $5 to get the stem separation. The Koala stem separation is pretty artifact heavy. I'm not going to say whether the MPC one is. You'll have to listen to it next week. Mm. But I was surprised by the results of it. I'm going to see if I can get Serato Studio working for stem separation, but I think they put that behind a paywall, so I might not be able to do it. But basically, whatever we can, it'll definitely be Koala, FL, and MPC, and then possibly RipX, Serato, and then I'll have the original stems as well, because there was some weird, I don't know if it was comb filtering or what, but the vocals have these really weird pitch warbles. It was trippy. Some of the stuff was interesting that happened. And Koala, a lot of them have different artifacts, so we'll look at all the different artifacts that are happening.
Good old fashioned shootout.
Say again, Ian Lake.
Good old fashioned shootout. Then, yeah, next week.
Yeah, it'll be fun. It'll be fun. All right, Curtis. Now the twilight days of the episode. What are you up to this week?
I'm taking a leaf out of Jesus's book, and I'm going to lie down for a bit. It is Easter after all, so I'm going to put myself with a big rock between me and humanity and just chill out for a bit before coming back and going, hey, check this, I've got new piercings. Long weekend here in Europe for Easter. I don't know, do you get a long week? You wouldn't get a long weekend for Easter, would you, over there in the States?
I have no idea.
So yeah, I'm going to go away for a bit. I'm going to go into the mountains, do some hiking, mix things up a bit, get out of the city. That's me. I'm going to try and refresh. Been getting increasingly frustrated with my workflow. And so it's time to go, you know what? Let's take a step back and reset and come back in a few days. So that's going to be fun.
Yeah. I approve of this approach. Good man.
Approve of the what?
It's good to take breaks.
I approve of this approach. It's a great idea.
I'm gonna take my handy cam, get some more sounds, get some stuff to get some birds, get some trees, get some wind. It's gonna be great. It's gonna be fun. We'll see. What about you, Samuel? What are you up to?
I'm still working on this live set that I'm making, and I'm really liking the setup, the way it works. Doing that, I need to learn song mode on the Digitech because I'm doing the pattern chaining. And so basically the way I'm doing it is one song that's pattern chained, one song that's SP only, then back to pattern chain. And I'm using all like the live looping with the circuit, which is really fun. That's how I do that last like 9 minute song. I start live looping stuff and just building it up, and then I take things down and then delete those live loops and build it up. It's a really cool workflow. And what I like about it is how scalable it is, because I can keep, obviously the Digitech has what, 8 channels of MIDI. So I could theoretically keep adding more instruments should I want to, but I could also, anything I've created with those extra instruments, just sample into the SP and then only do Digitech and SP should I need to make it much smaller. So I could kind of scale how big or small I want the setup to be, because the end goal, like I'm going to do this one, I think either for Bandcamp Live or for YouTube, definitely YouTube as the end result. But my thinking is keep building out the amount of songs and start trying to play live around here. So that's what I'm looking at. And then just the over under, getting that done. Because it's all Mantra, free Mantra plugins. And then obviously there's a certain reverb on everything.
Are you finding with your, in terms of your live set, are you moving towards going to play a live set somewhere out in the world?
That's the end. I've really missed playing live. The last one I did a pseudo DJ set in 2022, and I've got another one in May, like a DJ set. But the last live performance where I did Ableton, of all things, Ableton, MIDI, and guitar was in 2020. So I've just been like jonesing to get back out to play live. So what I'm thinking, that's why I want this to be scalable. I think when I take it out, I might bring the circuit, but I want to do SP, Digitech, and like the mini log and just that. So that's why I like this idea that whatever I make, I can just sample into the SP, and then I have it. Like I can just resequence it with the Digitech in the SP. So I like that idea to have this scalable. So if I'm in the studio or if I want to take a bunch of gear, I can, but I can just bring it down. So yeah, that's my goal. I'd like to play at least 2 shows this year, but with the baby and all that, it might be not till next year, but we'll get there.
Finally, your lake, where you at?
Oh, lots of stuff. Lots of stuff. It's Easter. I've got time, more time than usual. And, lots of stuff queued up to do and planned to do. Firstly, I'm going to find out why that light is flashing.
Can't see it.
Whole thing like this. It's just an overload light on my.
That's why he's so scynical.
Yeah. So if an overlight is pulsing regularly, it usually means you need to sample something. But a little bit of a remix of somebody we may or may not be familiar with. On the go, that needs a little bit more love and attention. I've got a 2.5 minute song to write in the next week.
It's in your mind, though. It's on the whiteboard, probably. You've got it. By the way, I was going to say, is the instrument, the only instrument, going to be a paintbrush?
No.
Just beat the devil out of it?
It's something you would use a paintbrush on, definitely.
Okay.
And we've got a collaboration that I'm working on as well, and an EP that I'm trying to finish. So, you know, that doesn't sound like an unreasonable amount for.
No, I think you need more.
Yeah.
You need more.
Yeah, I'm totally going to do all of that in a week.
Yeah, totally, totally.
4 days. 4 days, bro.
You've got this. I believe in you.
Yeah. It's good to have a plan, at least, isn't it?
Yeah. Good to have a plan. That's cool. Well, what are you guys up to? It is Easter over on this side of the Atlantic. So we get 4 days. So we get 2 days off, Friday through Monday off. For those of us on this side of the Atlantic, what are you going to be doing? Are you going to be utilizing the death of our Lord and Savior in order to promote your own musical creation journey? Let us know. If you're in the Americas, still, let us know what you're doing. It's always fun to hear what the community is up to and where they're at.
Yeah. And as much as we dread speaking of Spotify, there is an update on the playlist. So if you do use Spotify and want to help small artists get, you know, numbers or exposure, whatever, because that's all Spotify is for now. Just the exposure, bro. We've got the playlist. Lots of really good music on there. The link is in the description. I mean, I was going to stop updating it, but the patrons and everyone in the Discord said keep going. So we're doing that. I'm looking into maybe doing Tidal or something too, but it's just more work, which is just not, there's no time for that right now. But so if you do listen to Spotify or want to listen to some good independent music, head there. And also Bandcamp, Audionautic Records. We've got the new Departure Street, FCC came out. I snuck a little two track in there that was all Dawless stuff. So there's a lot of really cool stuff on Audionautic Records, and we've got a lot more coming out. The person below me, actually, I've got to start mastering their music for an upcoming thing. So yeah, we've got a lot. Curtis, you look like you have something you really want to say. What's up?
No, just while you're, I'm just linking to you. Excuse me, I've got a thing in my throat. There are all websites where you can paste the link, the URL into Spotify, and then it will just translate it into a Tidal thing.
Right. I think Tidal does it themselves. I think it's like a thing built into Tidal. So yeah, I got to
tune my music. Yeah.
Yeah. I got to do that. So I'll look into that and get it done soon. But I mean, I think it's worth still. Spotify has the biggest listener demographic. So I think it's worth, we've got like 500 or 600 follows there and stuff. So, I mean, it's worth to have it, you know, and to grow it and to be there. Unfortunately,
maybe we'll look into the migration of playlists to other platforms if it'd be helpful to people.
Yeah. Well, we are looking into the Tidal one. Josh, Curtis just sent me the link, so I will get there. I just my time is very limited. Getting that update done took a minute.
But this remains the single best reason to load up Spotify, doesn't it? So
yeah,
I mean, bro, I've got a Tidal account.
Have an Audionautic account.
We do. I can take that. Look at us planning our company online. Every time we do a playlist update, I'll just do the Tidal thing, and we'll just
nailed it. So there will be a Tidal playlist soon, and there is the Spotify one, which is in the description. And if it's not, it will be after the live show. I want to thank everybody for tuning in. Of course, if you got some value out of the video, you want to help spread the word, consider sharing the video, leave a like, it helps a ton. And if you're watching on Apple Podcasts or listening on Apple Podcasts, thanks, and consider giving a rating. Same with Spotify. It helps a ton. Curtis, is there anything we need to say or that you want to say before we go?
No, just happy Easter, everyone. Enjoy the eggs and enjoy everything. Thank you ever so much for sticking around. Loads of places on the internet to be, and you've chosen to come to us, and that's wonderful. So thank you.
Yeah, it means the world to always hang out with you all and hang out in the Discord. And I think these challenges are going to be a lot of fun. I'm really looking forward to seeing what everybody comes up with. And it certainly got me out of my normal way of working. I mean, every moment of this song I'm working on, I'm like, this is too long. Like, this drone goes on too long, but that's what it is. So it's like, it's good to get out of that comfort zone. Eon, like, anything you want to add before we go?
Love to the patrons. Lovely for the people in the chat. Thanks for joining us. It's always good to talk.
It is. Yeah, definitely. With that, we'll see you next week. I think we're back to 11, right? Pacific next week?
We're all in the same time zone next week, yeah.
Yeah, so it'll be, 7 p.m. UTC, 11 a.m. Pacific. But an hour before that, we'll be hanging out on the Discord, listening to submissions for the Discord challenge, and everybody can be in there to talk and let us know about what you did for your track and things like that. It'll be really cool just to hear from everybody and figure out, you know, together we grow. That's the point. So we'll talk all this stuff.
It's gonna be great. So yeah, see you guys next week. And yeah, do you want me to play the video today?
I got it. I'm good. You good? All right. See you next time.